WJMS Radio. Radio reimagined.
Often, our dreams seem too good to be true, but that definitely isn't the case for New Jersey dream pop band, Sonic Bloom. With upbeat guitar melodies, heavenly synth, and poetic lyrics, they create music that sounds like it comes straight out of a movie. It's no wonder they've recently been named one of the top NJ bands to hear in 2020. I sat down with them to discuss their latest music and how they create their mesmerizing sound.
I'm Max. I'm the singer and guitarist.
I'm Danny. I play the drums.
I'm Andrew. I play bass for Sonic Bloom.
We are a Sonic Bloom. Got to mention that.
So, first question is, how did music come into each of your lives? Like, what did you grow up listening to?
When I was, like, in first grade, I think, my elementary school, they offered, like, you could take piano lessons through the school, and it was like once a week you would go outside of class and then just like have a music lesson with like a few other kids. So I just got signed up for that, and that's how I started playing music. But growing up, my parents both listened to like really good music. Like I grew up listening to like The Smiths and like The Cure and like Joy Division, and then also my older brother had showed me Radiohead and like MGMT. So those were like my bands that like got me into music when I was little.
When I grew up, I would listen to my dad's music, and I didn't really like it that much. A few years before we started the band, I kind of like hated music, and then somehow I got back into it. Max showed me like probably like 5-ish bands that like really changed my life. So I guess it just took me finding the right bands. Then I was just like, oh yeah, I want to do this.
I remember at our very first band practice, like beforehand, I had texted Danny, and I was like, yeah, like, listen to this song by the band Death Cab for Cutie, and he had never heard of them, and it was like an indie rock band. And then Danny told me like later on, like I guess like a few years later, he was like, when I first texted him that like he thought they were gonna be some like heavy metal band, and he had no clue, so he was all nervous about what we were gonna do as a band. It was kind of funny.
My dad was like a huge Beatles, not and still is, but that's kind of what I grew up listening to, and then putting piano lessons as a kid as well. It kind of got me into playing music.
How did the band come together? Like, did you guys know each other before? Tell me a little bit about it.
We all used to do this music program together. We were all playing like classic rock songs from the 70s, like Led Zeppelin and stuff. And I guess we had kind of gotten like tired of that. So I had reached out to Danny and then Chase, who's not on the call right now. And I basically was just like, asked them if they wanted to do a band. And at first we're doing like covers of like Tame Impala, like MGMT, that kind of stuff. And then eventually we started writing our own songs. But and then Andrew went to my high school. I met Andrew freshman year of high school. And that's how we all met.
So how did you guys decide what kind of music you would create? Like who was going to be on which instrument?
I think we were all kind of into the same music. Like, I think it was pretty easy for us to figure out, like, what we wanted to do, like, what we wanted to sound like. I think it was also cool, too, because when we created the band, we didn't know anybody at the time, like, around here that was making music like that. So we kind of felt cool for that, I guess. So I think we all had shared the same interests, indie rock, alternative rock. So we kind of all wanted to do that. In terms of, like, who plays what instruments, I think that was just, yeah, I knew Daniel played the drums, and then, like, I know Andrew played bass, so I think it's kind of like came together nicely.
Yeah, when we started, like, I, at least back then, because we started in, like, we put out our first EP in 2017, like, there wasn't a lot of kids our age, I guess, doing that. There were, like, some, like, older friends we had that were, like, 6-7 years older than us. At first, I feel like it was kind of isolating in a way, but, like, it quickly became, like, a very communal thing, like, just getting a bunch of new friends through just like shows.
What would you say your biggest challenge was breaking into the music scene, especially the local one?
I mean, you just gotta have to play shows where nobody's gonna be there, and you gotta kind of get through that for a while, and then eventually like a crowd will build on top of itself. It like wasn't bad, but like you just kind of have to get used to the idea you're gonna be playing in like a bar where nobody really like is that interested at first.
Yeah, I think you have to play, like, every show you can. And, like, we were super fortunate, too, because, like, we had a group of friends that were very dedicated to coming to, like, all of our shows. And they loved coming to the shows, I think, just as much as like we did playing them. So they would come to all of our shows, and then eventually that group of people that would come kind of just like grew and grew. But I also think it was weird at first too, because we were younger, like 16, 17. So I know there were like some times it'd be weird playing at venues where like usually the acts are older. But I don't really think that was ever like too much of an issue.
Yeah, it was definitely weird for the people who were working the shows, like the sound guys or the talent buyers. At some times they were just like treating us like we don't deserve to be there because we're young. We were kind of all aware, like, all right, well, this is only going to last for another like 2 years. And it kind of did only last that long. Once we turned 18, 19, that kind of stopped. Even now, playing a bunch of shows in the beginning, even if we gain like one new fan, then it's worth it, which is the mentality we've kind of always had. So like, we'll go play a show, and like, if there's 10 people in the audience, it's a success.
Do you guys get into that dilemma where you're at a bar, but you have to play at a certain time and then they'll just kick you out? Like, has that happened to you?
I think only once. There was one time when we were supposed to like play at 8, but for some reason there was a hold up and we ended up going on at like 8:30. But they said no one under 21 could be there past 9. And we had like an hour set. And we had a bunch of friends there too. So literally at 9 o'clock, all of our friends were asked to leave. And then they even like came up like asking us to leave. So that was weird. But usually, like, most venues, if they're bars, they'll be cool with having us as a band be in there, but we won't be able to bring in, like, any of our friends our age. As long as we are, like, responsible, most of the venues are cool with us.
So speaking of performing live, what's everyone's favorite part about performing live versus creating music in general?
My favorite part about performing live is the energy of performing in front of like an audience and the interaction between us and that audience. And it's different because when you're creating music in the studio, there's still, in a way, like, is an interaction with the audience. You know, you're obviously creating the music for people to listen to, but it's a very different energy because, you know, obviously when you're live, it's way more like high energy and like it's literally right there in front of you. So it's like so much fun. And when you play a song and you get like a great response, people are into the set, there's like no better feeling. And when you're creating music, it's still an amazing feeling, but it's also like stressful in a way because everything you play or do is in a way permanent. That's going to be people listen to forever. So it is more stressful, but it's still like an amazing feeling.
It's also cool just seeing people who like our music. I feel like a lot of the process of making music, writing it, and recording it is very, it's just us four. But then, like, we play a show and it's, oh, these are the people that have been listening to that thing we made in the studio. These are the people that like us. It's just cool because it's, you don't see that when you're not playing.
At our shows, too, I don't know if this will ever happen again with the whole virus thing, but it was kind of weird because we're kind of more like an indie rock band, like Dream Cup kind of thing. But there was like some weird intense mosh pits at a bunch of our shows, and I think it's mostly our friends that have been kind of following us from the beginning just kind of being clowns. But I've always liked just seeing the energy in the crowd.
That was always like the best part too, and it was cool because, like, you know, at first we'd just be like our like really close friends, and then the last few shows we played, everyone is just like dancing and like moshing. Yeah, it's really humbling to see that. It's really cool.
So run me through a typical day in the studio creating music. What are you specifically doing? What's the creative process behind like writing the songs and the riffs?
I think this past time that we were in there, like 2 weeks ago, it was definitely like the most prepared we had been to record. Before going in there, like all of the songs were 95 to even 100% completed in terms of writing. We just had spent so much time during like quarantine and everything practicing that we were really tight on all the songs, and we really perfected them to the best they could be. We spent a lot of time just recording demos of different versions of the songs, reworking them until we thought they were the best they could be. And then in the studio, it's more refining it, because when you're in the studio too, everything just like sounds so much better. So you can really figure out like what sounds good and what sounds bad, and like what works and what doesn't. So I think when we're in the studio, it's more about figuring out like exact tones and sounds for each instrument, but then also just nitpicking this section to be a little shorter, or, you know, in this section, the guitar should drop out or there should be vocal harmonies or something.
Also, our producer, Eric Romero, is very big on the idea of when we first get there, he always says, like, if anybody has an idea, say the idea. And whether we all like it or not, we will try that idea. It's like no ideas go left untried. We try every idea that someone has. If it doesn't sound good, it's whatever. But a lot of the cool little like things in songs that you might not hear the first time are just ideas that someone has. It was kind of just on the whim, but it's all about trying things, especially if we're not comfortable trying it, because that gives it a new texture. Like, for example, we recorded with two different drum sets for one song, and I was definitely not comfortable trying that. And we did that the other day, and it came out great.
I think the studio this time around, we kind of did a different process where we did a rough track of each song and then kind of went back and did overdubs on top of it instead of trying to get a live tracking of like the whole band that we all liked and were fine with, and then from that overdub. So it was just like a different process. I think it worked well for this session.
Talk to me about the songs that you chose to feature and why'd you pick them? What do you have in mind creating them?
We chose Aubrey, Pink Boots, and Raincoat. Those were three singles that we put out last year, 2019. Those will also be on the record that we're putting out like next spring. Yeah, we chose those because I think they're like the best songs we put out so far. I'm really proud of like the way those came out. If I ever listen to our music, it's not really to enjoy it or like jam out. It's because it brings back a lot of memories. It's like super nostalgic. You know, it reminds me of when we wrote the song, when we recorded that song, like where we were. So Aubrey was at first kind of like a joke song. Me and Danny were hanging out one day and we had come up with this little demo, basically all electronic, like drum machine and everything. And it was just like an instrumental loop. As like a joke, I wanted to record a vocal melody, but I was like singing lyrics about the actress Aubrey Plaza. That summer, just like me and Danny had watched a lot of like Aubrey Plaza movies, and it was just like kind of like a joke thing. But we ended up keeping that. So yeah, that song is like about Aubrey Plaza, which I think is really cool. Raincoat, I wrote like later that year. And that song was like super like personal to me. I mean, musically, I really enjoyed the instrumental to it. But then like lyrically, it was like the first song I wrote about like my girlfriend. And it was like, because we were like best friends before we started dating. So it was kind of like about being best friends, but like wanting to be more than that. So that was kind of like the inspiration behind that song.
Pink Boots. It's a very like relaxing song for me to listen to. I remember when I was living in Philly last year, at least like 3 months before the song came out, I was just like listening to it a lot. It was a very like comforting song to listen to. And some of my favorite music is like just music I listen to for comfort. It's also one of my favorite drum parts on a song. It was basically like, I wanted to do a drum machine on the whole song. I didn't want to play drums. But the band was like, no, you should try playing drums. So we did this weird thing where I like tried to emulate a drum machine in the part I played. And I thought it sounded really cool. So that's my favorite. Different scenes, familiar.
Do you guys find the balance between being a local band and like maintaining your normal life's hard?
I would kind of say, at least for me, like in high school, it kind of defined my normal life in a way. You know what I mean? I did stuff outside of it and I had friends outside of it. But for the most part, band practice and going to shows and the friends that I made later on in high school were mostly through just hanging out and playing music. So it kind of just became regular life for me in a way.
I think that's what we signed up for in the beginning. Like being in a band isn't normal and it isn't like regular life. So I've got like so many friends that probably think I hate them because I never talk to them. Because whenever they hit me up, I'm like, oh, sorry, like I've got practice today or going to be in the studio this day or I've got a show or something. It's always like there's a few friends that are like very understandable. And there's a few friends that I've stopped talking to because of it. But we were all aware of that. And like some of my best friends I've met through the band, aside from the band themselves, you know, just other bands that we've met and the people who've been with us like from day one, they're still hanging around and supporting us, even though we don't have the time to see them all the time.
And it's pretty cool too, because in our small area that we live, we have some sort of recognition between like other high school kids, and we go to like Surf Taco and get free guac because people that work there were like fans of our music. So it's like the smallest amount of fame you can have, but it's cool.
That's the only amount of fame I'd like to have.
Yeah, you can still live your normal life, but you get free guacamole.
Because it's just like part of our life. It's just like part of our personalities now. We've been doing this for a few years, so it's everything we do is revolved around Sonic Bloom. It's weird in the sense of meeting new people, because then that's all you have to talk about, because that's all you do. But for your friends that have been around, it's all cool.
So I have a fun question, because everyone lights up when I ask them this question. Who are you guys listening to at the moment? Do you have any new like favorite albums, favorite artists? Like, give me all the suggestions.
I've been basically listening to like every day since it came out, the new Phoebe Bridgers album, Punisher. Christian Lee Hudson, his album came out like a month before hers, but she produced it and they're like best friends. It's really good. It's kind of like more in the vein of her first record, kind of like mixed with like Suvion Stevens in a way. So it's like acoustic, but like it's really, really good. So those two records for me, the new Phoebe album and the new Christian Lee Hudson album, but then also just like Elliot Smith a lot and like Bright Eyes, like Connor Oberst, like all that kind of stuff.
I've been listening to like a lot of electronic music, which is kind of funny because obviously like Phoebe and Christian Lee Hudson and Elliot are very like acoustic. But I've been listening to Charlie XCX a lot. I like her. Kira Kara Benito, I've been listening to their album Time and Place. That album's really sick. That's the first two that come to mind.
I've had like a few songs from the new Car Seat Headrest album on repeat recently. Usually I just kind of like I just shuffle the Men I Trust radio and just listen to like generic indie boy music. Anak Co is like one of my new favorite albums of like all time. It's by Jay Som. Last couple nights I've been like just listening to like old Front Bottoms albums too.
What's the biggest like I made it moment for you guys that you look forward to having as a band? Like something that hasn't happened yet, but it happens and you're like, guys, like we made it.
We got paid. We do get paid for things, like we get paid for shows and stuff, but if you like take into account all of the time that we put into it, the hourly rate is like half of minimum wage if you put in like all the hours. So I think if we get to a point where we're like profitable enough, that would be a made it thing for me.
I would love to like be able to play on Saturday Night Live or something, or like on Conan or something. I think that'd be really cool. Or also just like be able to go on a headlining tour across the country or like, you know, other continents too.
I would like to get to a point where we can, one, quit our other jobs or any other thing that's not Sonic Bloom. And then, like, it would be cool if we could get to a point where we could, like, change the way we perform. For example, like, we have our own crazy, like, stage setup that's just a Sonic Bloom thing. In the same way that Kanye West has done, or, like, Muse, or, like, you know, like there's certain artists, or 1975, where they have, like, that's their stage setup. You know, they have, like, these things. I would like to get to a point where we could have, I guess, the budget for that. Just like to put on cooler live shows.
Do you guys have any advice for like other up and coming artists, things that you wish you did differently or anything like that?
I think just like you have to be patient. Like you can't like expect all of a sudden to be like the Front Bottoms or something. You know what I mean? So just like play as many shows as possible. And even if it's like, you know, a Wednesday at like 6 p.m. at like a bar and like no one's there, as long as you make like that one fan, like, or as long as you like, you know, when you're playing, like you learn something, that's all that matters. You kind of have to like figure the rest out like as you go on. And like everyone has like their own, you know, unique story. But like I think be patient and like be open to like anything.
Don't do it for anyone else other than yourself. You know, there's like some people who just like, oh, I want to be famous, so I'll make music. That's not how big bands and artists got there. Like they got there because they had their own unique idea and vision. And also just the relationships you build in the beginning are the most important relationships. In your interactions with everyone, know that people will remember those interactions. Treat everyone the best you can. Always try to like build each other up in the music industry, because when you're supportive of other people, those people will be supportive of you. And it's a very communal thing when it comes to growing a fan base.
Yeah, I mean, I guess something for me is you have to take your ego out of it, like especially when it comes to like dealing with musical ideas in the band or feeling that you're not being received as well as you should be. You have to kind of understand that you're just making art, and art is subjective and it needs to be built upon by the people around you. And even if you're emotionally attached to like an idea or a song, like from an objective point of view, there's like there could be a different perspective that's more important or relevant to like what you're trying to do.
A lot of the best drum ideas for Sonic Bloom doesn't come from me. It comes from like any of the other members saying like, oh, what if you try this? They're not drummers, but that's kind of why it sounds cool. It's not something you would expect. So always listen to other people, especially if they know less than you. Yeah, listen to everyone and always be open-minded when it comes to that.
Where can we find you guys on social media? Where's your music? On what platforms? And do you have any projects coming up?
I kind of want to plug the Backyard Session. We released like a new song that we've only done like there and like one other show at the end of the video. I think it kind of slipped under the radar a little bit. Yeah, our YouTube channel, Sonic Bloom Band.
On every social media platform, it's just Sonic Bloom Band, B-L-U-M-E.
As far as future projects, nothing set in stone yet, but hopefully release a full-length album by most likely 2021, I'd say.
We're going to try to put out an album as soon as we can, but that doesn't mean like next month. That probably means like 2021. Yeah. When we say as soon as we can, it's not that soon, but we're working on it.
Thanks for listening. Tune in 24/7 at WJMSradio.com.